Hebrews chapter 13 verse 5 said, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what men shall do unto me. You can be seated tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd help us tonight. I pray that you'd come by and speak to folks' hearts. You know the need that's setting in here tonight. And I pray as we preach that you'd give us an unction from the Holy One. I pray that we'd be very attentive in that to the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray if there's somebody lost that you'd save them. If there's somebody, Lord, I pray tonight that just needs direction in their heart, that you'd give it to them, they'd find it in you tonight. But as we preach, I pray that you'd ever let us realize that you'll never leave us nor forsake us, and that you have us tonight. We thank you for that great promise. For these things in Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want to preach tonight on a subject that most of us know and have heard preached probably more than 5 or 10 times in our life, in the very fact that the Lord will not forsake us. What a great promise. Every one of us should have jumped up and shouted at that point. What a great promise it is to the Christian tonight that God will not forsake us. He will not forget us. He will not fail us. He will not let us go, but he's always got us. And I'm thankful for that tonight. The Bible said in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 31, he said, in the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. And so tonight, as I look at this passage of Scripture, I see that he said, first of all, let your conversation be without covetousness. So tonight, by way of introduction, let me say that because he will never leave us nor forsake us, listen, we don't have to covet what the world has tonight. We don't have to desire to obtain or to possess all the worldly goods, because the greatest promise that me and you could ever have tonight from the Heavenly Father is that he'd never leave us. The greatest thing that we could have tonight is to have the assurance that God will always be there tonight. He said, let your conversation be without covetousness. You know, there's a lot. The world is eat up with itself. There's no doubt about that. But listen, there is some carnal believers tonight that all they're concerned with is what they can get out of the world. And they give a little tidbit and that to the Heavenly Father. Hey, I ain't worried about what's out in the world. What did he say in the book of Matthew, I believe it was, at one point? What did he say? He said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and he shall add all these things unto you. Hey, when we seek him and follow him, none of the rest of it matters anymore. Boy, I'm glad he will not forsake us tonight. And he said that what? He said there are some that have coveted, but then he tells us to be content with such things as we have. That word content means to be satisfied or to be pleased with. Let me ask you tonight, what God has gave you, are you satisfied with what God's gave you? Are you satisfied with what God's done for you tonight? Hey, listen, I'm satisfied. Let me say this tonight. I'm satisfied with his salvation tonight. Amen. Hey, I'm satisfied with that. That's what's getting me to heaven. That's what's giving me peace and joy in this life. That's what's getting me along down here is the salvation and all those things, if I can say that, that comes with his salvation tonight. I'm satisfied with him. I hope he's satisfied with me tonight. Boy, that's a good question to ask ourselves tonight. Is God satisfied with us? Is God content with us? But he said, how to be content with such things as you have. Contentment, he said in the book of Philippians chapter 4, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Paul was in a lot of states, wasn't he? Right? I mean, out of all the things that Paul was in and went through, he said, whatever state I'm in, I'm going to be content. You know, at one time Paul goes through all the things that he had went through and all the things that he had done. We go over to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 12 or chapter 11 and he said this. He said as he begins to talk about and he says I'm speaking foolishly about those that might glory in their flesh. He says, if they glory in their flesh, he said, I speak concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, wherein soever, in his boat I speak foolishly, I am not bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. And then he begins to tell some things that he went through. He said, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prison more frequent, in deaths oft. But let me ask us something tonight. How many of us have been in labors abundant, stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, and in deaths oft? How many times do we face a death? And he's talking about serving Christ. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about in his service to Christ, he's faced all these things. Verse 24 said, of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. That's 195 stripes. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck a night and a day. I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watching often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Let me stop right here and say, we've got it made today, don't we? I mean, we've not faced none of that in serving Christ, what I just read. We've not been beat on. Listen, Paul said he was beaten with rods. He was beaten with stripes. He was stoned. He suffered shipwreck. And the night and the day he's been in the deep. And then he talks about all these perils that he was in. I don't know none of us sitting in here tonight that's faced those things. And he said, in weariness and painfulness. I'd say, men, you've had some weary nights and painfulness, but let me ask you how much of it comes in serving Christ. In watchings often, in hunger and thirst. We ever been hungry and thirsty? Because we didn't have nothing. He said, in fastings often, in cold nakedness, besides those things. Now remember, all that comes from serving Christ. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. I could not imagine that. I could not imagine everything that Paul suffered through and went through. And then he said, I've got the care of the church. I've got the care of one church, and it's hard enough to care for sometimes. There's enough worry in this church to bring you down. I'll be honest with you, there is. But notice, Paul said, told him in Philippians, he said, I've learned at whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. If I'm hungry, I've learned to be content. If I abound, I've learned to be content. If I'm abased, I've learned to be content. He said, in fasting, he said, I've just learned to be content in whatever state I am. Well, it'd be good for us to learn, wouldn't it? Amen, preacher, you're right. It'd be good for me to learn, I'll be honest with you, how to be content. People don't know how to be content anymore. Don't know how to just be satisfied with what we've got tonight. I want to learn to be content, and I don't want the Lord to have to make me learn that. But I want to look at some things that he said right here in the book of Hebrews. As he said, to let your conversation be without covetousness, be content with such things as you have. And here's why he said that. Here's why you don't have to be covetous. And here's why me and you can be content on this earth, is for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Can I tell you tonight, that is the greatest promise given to the child of God. Short of saying that I will say, if you'll come to me, I will save you. You know, the great promise that's ever been made where Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, come to me all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Boy, he'll save anybody. One of the greatest promises ever given right there. But the next promise that we ever get out of Scripture and that from the Heavenly Father is when he says, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Well, how many times have you been in trouble, church? How many times tonight have we been through hard times and we've needed His help and He has come by? Let me say tonight, if you're unsaved, I look across the crowd and I'd say everybody's saved in here. I really don't know, but I'd say they are. But if you've never been saved, that promise is not for you. It's to you. You can have that promise. You just got to come and get saved tonight. Amen. Ain't you glad of that tonight? You can come and get saved. He said, I tell you nay, except you repent, I shall all likewise perish. You need to come repent of your sins, trust Christ, and get saved tonight, and that promise will be yours. You can depend on God. You know the great thing about the Heavenly Father tonight is He is faithful. One of the greatest things I've ever learned about the Heavenly Father is He's faithful tonight. When He says He'll never leave us nor forsake us, you can depend on that. You can grab a hold of that. You can trust in that. We can't trust in a whole lot of things in this world. We don't even know what to trust right now, do we? Amen? I mean, we really don't know what to trust right now. You don't know if what the government's telling you the truth. You don't know if what they're telling you on the media. So I'll be honest with you, the media's telling it to you, it probably ain't true, friend. Amen? Now, some of y'all got upset right there. Amen. Listen, if they're telling it, I ain't believing it. I mean, that's just the bottom line. Until I can learn different. Amen. Let me move on. I'm going to get drugged down. But ain't it great to know that in a time like we're in tonight, church, that God ain't going to leave us nor forsake us. Can I tell you tonight that as He's made this promise to us that the battle is going to come. You know what is great about this is the battle's going to come and you're going to have to face it. You're going to have to face the battle. I mean, we want to run from the battle sometimes and we don't want to face the battle, but it's going to come. Think about everything that Joshua saw when he was Moses' minister. You know, he was halfway up the mountain when Moses was up on top of the mountain. And you know what? God, we read it this morning. God's telling Moses, said, your people down there that you delivered out of Egypt, I said, they've already went and made a golden calf. And Joshua was about halfway up the mountain and Moses on top of the mountain. And Joshua said, I hear a sound of war down there. And Moses said, that ain't it. And Joshua followed Moses all those years through the wilderness. And he followed him knowing what God was capable and able of doing. And he seen everything that Moses went through. And then when Moses dies, God chooses Joshua. Well, I bet he was excited, wasn't he? I mean, if these people turn out anything like the last people, we're going to be in a mess. But you know what? Joshua had good people, didn't he? Read that over there. Boy, they ain't none of them wanted to go back to Egypt. You know, when they come about the land of Egypt, you read Exodus chapter 16, you'll find out that they said, would to God that we were down in the land of Egypt when we had plenty. We sing that old song, 114, I've never been sorry, out of the red back book. I've never been sorry since I got saved. You know, they were sorry that they come up out of the land of Egypt. God was trying to get them to a place that He wanted them to go. And the more that Moses tried to lead them, the more they bucked and kicked and didn't want to go. They wanted to go back to what they knew and what was easy. But God was telling Joshua in Joshua chapter 1, as God called him and let him take Moses' place, He said, there shall not be any man able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I'll be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. He'll do us the same way. He was with them old timers. He seen them old timers through. He kept them. Listen, He seen them through, and He'll do the same for me and you today. Joshua knew that when he crossed and that the Jordan River, he knew he was going to have to fight. God had already warned him. He was going to have to fight. Now you're in one of three places tonight. You're either in Egypt, never been saved. You're either wandering around in the wilderness. You just ain't right with God. Or you're in the promised land and you're fighting. You know, in the promised land, they had to fight to get into the promised land, didn't they? Amen. Go over. I know we talk about the promised land being heaven. I understand that. We're going to cross Chile Jordan one day and we're going to get into heaven. I understand that. But listen tonight. There's a battle that's going to come. The great thing that me and you have to understand is that He will not forsake us in the midst of that battle. Remember what He told Peter over there? One of my most favorite scriptures in the book of Luke. He said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat." But that's not the end of what he said. You know what Christ went on to tell? He said, "But I have prayed for thee." Boy, if anybody's praying for you, the Lord's... I mean, if anybody can get in touch with heaven, it's going to be the Lord Jesus tonight. Peter said, he told Peter, he said, "Look, Simon, Simon, Satan is hard to have you. They may sift you. He wants to take you apart. He wants to sift you, wants to destroy you. But look, Peter, I've prayed for you. I'll not forsake you, Peter." And he said, "Here's what I prayed for, that thy faith fail not." You know, in the midst of the battle, and him not going to forsake us, we've got to maintain our faith. And now, it don't matter whether you maintain your faith in him or not, he's not going to forsake you. But if you need help, you're going to have to hold on to him, friend. I'll hold on to him for salvation, but I'm you're just going to have to hold on to the promise of God that he will not forsake you. And he said, "When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." Deuteronomy chapter 20, as Moses was getting the children of Israel ready to go. Now he had to see it coming. I mean, God no doubt was telling Moses how things was going to be, and he knew that until they died, they just wandered around in the wilderness. You know, you can't do some things until some people just die. And sometimes that's how it is in a church. Some people are so stubborn and they're going to buck you all the way that the only way you're going to get to do anything is they're just going to have to leave. They're either going to have to leave the church or they're going to have to die off. Now, that's a shame in saying that tonight. But you know, before they could ever get over into the promised land, God wasn't going to let them bunch of rebels go over there. He was going to let them wander around in the wilderness for 40 years and die over there. Hey, some churches tonight, they can't do anything because somebody don't want to, and that's where they're at tonight. Oh, it don't work. It works that way, friend. It works that way. They just sitting there like a big old rebel and just don't want to do nothing. They've got what they want. That's the way it's going to stay. Book of Deuteronomy, he's getting them ready to go into the promised land. He was getting the children of God ready before he goes up on Mount Nebo. And he says, "When thou goest out to battle against thine enemies and seest horses and chariots and a people more than thou." He said, "Look, when you go out and you look across out through there and they're greater than you, they're bigger than you, they're meaner than you. Everything's greater about them than you." He said, "Be not afraid of them." He said, "For the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." So God goes back and he reminds them and he shows them and he says, "Look," he says, "was it not me that brought you out of Egypt?" How did he bring them out of Egypt? He just didn't bring them out of Egypt. He brought them out of Egypt with a high and a mighty hand, didn't he? I mean, man, the plagues that come in there, and I mean, they're up in Goshen. You know, out of all them plagues that amaze me more than any of them, that's that plague of darkness. It is that plague of darkness that amazes me, that God made it dark down here in the land of Egypt, and they could strike a match and it wouldn't matter. They'd light a candle and it wouldn't matter. They couldn't see, but yet up in Goshen, the sun was shining. I never understand that. Ain't that just like the Lord? To give us light when it's dark everywhere else. Amen? He can help us when it's dark everywhere else. He can get us through when it's bad everywhere else. I'll tell you this again. When they put Kelly in the hospital, and listen, we didn't know. See, the fear of the unknown is what gets you a lot of times. We just didn't know. And that poor little old nurse, she didn't mean to scare us. And she called us and told us what was going on. Man, don't ever get on the internet. You're dying if you look on the internet. It don't matter. You've got cancer. You've got all kinds of problems if you look on the internet. But I looked on the internet. That was a big deal. And I shouldn't have done that, but I did. But then I called Miss Elizabeth back here. And she didn't help me none. She said she probably needs to be in the hospital. And she was right. Because I finally got a hold of my doctor. As a matter of fact, while I was talking to Miss Elizabeth, my doctor called me. And he said, okay, son. He said, after I explained everything, he said, okay. I said, what's going on? And he says, she needs to be in the hospital. I said, okay. And listen, that's a little nerve-wracking because you've got friends dying from all this stuff. And you see all this going on and it's compounded on top of you. And see, I watched her get sick. And I mean, she was sick, man, sick. Now, even though they misdiagnosed her, and I'm glad they misdiagnosed her, not for COVID, but they misdiagnosed her on some other things. But you know what? The whole time that I was worrying, the Lord was saying, I've got it under control. And I know I've told y'all this before. I think it bears repeating again. In the front of my mind, he was simply telling me it's going to be okay. Now, it may not always be okay, but this time he was telling me it's going to be okay. I don't know if you've ever had that. I don't know if God's ever spoke to you. I had a preacher, I was listening to him preach the other day, and when you get to talking about how God speaks to your heart, people think you're crazy. But God has a way to speak to our heart tonight and just comfort us and calm us. All that worry's flooding back tonight. I can remember how it felt when she's in the hospital. In the front of my mind, he was telling me it's okay. And in the back of my mind, I'm going, are you sure, Lord? Are you sure? Because what they're telling us sure ain't looking good. And I know all of you have been there probably at one time or another. If you've lived any at all, you've received bad news and worry and concern. Listen, our life is generally not full of worry. It's not generally full of concern, you know. And so, God was making himself known. I love it when God just simply makes himself known. You know that me and you, we fight the battle, don't we, tonight? Oh, we've got an adversary, Satan. He wants to make you fear. He wants to destroy you. You know what? Well, he wants to devour you according to the book of 1 Peter 5 and 8. He wants to just eat you up. And listen, you have to understand that our strength does not stand in ourselves, but it stands in the Heavenly Father tonight when he said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. But God said, I am the one that brought you up out of the land of Egypt. He wanted them to remember what he had done. What has God done for you? Think about it now tonight. Now you may be young in the faith tonight and you've not seen God move a lot, but I'll be honest with you, you read this book, you believe what's in this book, put your faith in the God of this book and you just begin to pray and seek God. But he wanted to remind them. You know, ain't it good that God reminds us? What did he tell Joshua? What did he tell Joshua? He says, what did he tell him at one point? He told him over there, he says, as I was with Moses. He said, you seen what I done for Moses. Now, Joshua, I'm going to do you the same way. I'm going to do you the same way. I'm going to keep you and not fail you and not forsake you. And that going in promise. You've seen all the miracles that I... Hey, think about this, church. Think about this just for a minute. All those plagues that took place down in the land of Egypt, they get out there to the Red Sea. God has to part that thing, how to get them across. And not only does he get them across, but in the process of time, he shuts it back up and kills the Egyptian army. And God is leading them by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. What's he lead us with? Well, we've got a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. This book right here. And he sends his beloved Holy Spirit in that to give us direction out of it, does he not? All I'm trying to get you to see is in the midst of the battles that you're going to fight, and you are going to fight, you're going to have to fight Satan, you're going to have to fight this world, you're going to have to fight yourself. Sometimes I feel in fighting myself, we you know, Kelly found a video the other day of our little old, we've got a big old gray cat. Now, I call her a little old gray cat, but she's a big old gray cat. Big old fluffy thing. And she chases her tail like a dog chases its tail. You want to see her sometimes. It's crazy to watch this cat chase its tail. And so Kelly found a video from probably almost three years ago. And when she was little, she was chasing her tail. She said, see, she's done it all her life. She's chased her tail. You know, sometimes I feel that way about myself, about fighting myself, fighting with my flesh. It's just a constant rotation that I'm fighting me a lot of times. I'm fighting doubts and fears and worries, it seems like. And I may not be fighting sin. Don't misunderstand me. I got to deal with sin and temptation just like everybody else does. But I mean, there's fears and worries that come upon me just like they come upon you. And then I'll be honest with you. I beat myself up for fearing and worrying because I know I shouldn't be fearing and worrying. And then I wire myself out over that. And then, you remember what I told you? If I ain't got nothing to worry about, I worry why I ain't worrying. I'm just being honest tonight. I thought about what David said in 1 Samuel chapter 17 as he goes to fight Goliath. He's standing before King Saul and he's telling the story right here. As Saul, as he's right there before him and he's getting ready to go fight, he said, "Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear." Now what had happened? That lion and bear had come in, took a lamb and that out of his father's sheep. And he says, "I went and fought the bear and the lion. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that hath delivered me out of the paw of the lion, out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said unto David, "Go, the Lord be with thee." So David had been in a battle before, and God delivered him. I thought about when David was on the run from Saul. You remember he gets over there to the priest. He's got him and a couple of men with him and he has no weapons at all with him. Let me see if I can find that. Look, go back to the book of 1 Samuel. Go back to the book of 1 Samuel. I want you to go with me. Get headed that direction and I'll find it. I just read it the other day there at the house. King Saul is trying to kill David. And so he has to go on the run. Chapter 21. 1 Samuel chapter 21. I believe it's where we need to be. Let's see. Verse 8. And David said unto Ahimelech. Now you got to remember, David's on the run from King Saul. He's took off, no weapons. He's got a couple men with him. Ahimelech is the priest. And he asked him this after he got some showbread there. He said, is there not here under thine hand spear or sword? For I have neither brought my sword nor my weapons with me because the king's business required haste. Now you got to realize David has told the priest, he said, why ain't you got any weapons with you, and why just these men? He said, I've had to go quickly on the king's business. He fibbed a little bit right there. And the priest said, the sword of Goliath, the Philistine, verse 9 now, whom thou slewest in the valley of Elah, behold, it is here wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If thou wilt take that, take it. For there is no other save that here. And David said, there is none like that. Give it me. Now, I've preached on that, on Goliath's sword, when David got Goliath's sword. Now, I don't know why David still didn't have Goliath's sword, but for whatever reason, it ended up with the priest wrapped up and sitting behind the ephod. And you know what? When he gets there and he's on the run, and that from King Saul, the priest said, "Hey, I've got Goliath's sword here." That sword was more than a sword to David. I have no doubt when he said, "I've got Goliath's sword here," David's mind began to run back. And to that day when he stood out there in the valley and he was swinging that rock and there in that sling and he lets it go and he draws after he kills that or knocks that Philistine down. He draws out his own sword and cuts his head off. Hey, he was reminded that God fights battles. David is in the midst of a place
where he need to be reminded that God fights battles. Don't we get in places where we need to be reminded that God fights battles? David said, give it me. There's not nothing. There's not another like it. The Lord said, I will not never. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He will not forsake us when the battle day, when the battle time comes, nor when dark days come. When grieving comes and sickness comes and days of affliction comes, he will not forsake us. In Matthew chapter 7, we've preached on this a little while, or this same parable, if I could call it a parable, but we preached on it out of the book of Luke for the past, basically about the past 2 weeks. He said in Matthew chapter 7, he said in verse 24, therefore whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon rock. Notice who I'm talking about. Feller built his house on rock. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house. Now, the scripture did not say because he built his house upon a rock that the winds would not come and that what? And that the rain would stay in the heavens and that the flood would never come and the wind would not blow. No, it said the rain descended, the floods came, and the wind blew. And notice what your Bible says, and beat upon that house. That wind, rain, and flood just beat upon that house. You know that me and you are not, even that we're saved, that the flood and the rain and the wind is going to be upon us. We are not, I'm looking for that word and it just won't come to me, save my life. We will not escape it. That ain't what I was looking for, but they'll say the same thing. He said, but notice right here in verse 25, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. When you get founded upon that rock, it does not matter what comes, it will not beat your house down. He said, weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. It may get bad for a while, but it won't be bad forever. And even when it is bad, the Lord Jesus is right there with us. Psalm 17 and 3 said, thou hast proved mine heart, thou hast visited me in the nighttime. He'll always be with us. He'll always keep us. Others may leave us, but Christ Jesus the Lord will not. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He said in Psalms 27, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. As I looked over this passage, I thought about Job. And there's just a lot of things in Job I don't understand. Can I just be honest with you now? They're just some things I just don't understand. I really believe that I think Job was a complex man. I really do. When you begin to read about him and you read about his life, and man, he struggled. I mean, there's no doubt. You read the book of Job. Job struggled, but yet he trusted God. You remember, was it in Mark chapter 9 where that father brought his son and that to the Lord Jesus Christ? And here's what he told the Lord. He said, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. Job struggled because it seemed as though God had forsook him. But yet over here, he said, though he slay me, I will trust him. Over here, he said, I don't know where he is, but boy, if I could get to him, I'd tell him some things. And in the very same chapter, he said, but when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. And so Job knew the whole time that God was trying him. But that don't change how we feel sometimes, does it? I don't know anybody that just wants to go through a trial.
But when trials come, ain't it great to know that the Lord will be with us? It may seem as though He is not there, but in the book of Isaiah chapter 43, He said, "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel." Understand He's dealing with Israel. I know that He's dealing with the nation of Israel right here, talking to them. He said, "Fear not, for I have redeemed thee." Did the Lord not do us the same way? Did the Lord not create the church? Did He not form the church? Did He not redeem the church? He said, "I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine." Now, I don't believe in replacement theology tonight, but I know this. I'm going to spiritualize this passage tonight, and I'm going to tell you where He is tonight. And not only do I spiritualize it out of the book of Isaiah there, but I know that where He is according to the book of 1 Corinthians tonight. And then He said this in Isaiah 43 and verse 2. He said, "When thou passest through the waters, I'll be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." So in the midst of that, He said, "I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee," so that we may boldly say, "The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what men do unto me, shall do unto me." So at the end of it all, friend, knowing that He will never leave us nor forsake us, notice how He words this, "so that we may boldly say." It's not so that we may say, but that we may boldly say. We make this statement with some boldness. We keep our head up and say, "I know this to be the truth." You know how I know this to be the truth? One, the Bible tells me so. Two, I've seen Him work in other people's lives. And three, I've seen Him work in my life. And He said, "The Lord is my helper." Ain't you glad tonight He's our helper tonight? He said, "I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee." We don't have to fear about this world. Man, there is so much fear tonight. There's so much fear being pumped out tonight. I can get real political real fast. But you know what? For the Christian tonight, we don't have to fear. Man, either we believe the Bible or we don't. Either we trust God or we don't. Now, I know He wants us to be smart. I know that and have some wisdom. I understand all those things. Somebody told me one time, you know what the Lord, and I really believe this is true. The Lord expects us to do what we can, and what we can't, He'll take care of. Boy, that was profound, wasn't it? I thought that's a pretty good statement. But He said, "I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee." Why? So that we can boldly say, "The Lord is my helper." Where's your help come from? It comes from Him tonight. And we don't have to fear. We don't have to fear at all tonight. Let's bow our heads across the house tonight. If we get us a verse of invitation tonight, fellas. Maybe you feel like the Lord has forsook you. He's not. Some of you are sitting here tonight, and as I preached and talked about times, there was times that has flooded through your mind tonight to remind you of where God seen you through. When worry gripped you and fear gripped you, some of that, I'm not kidding you, when I talked about Kelly being in the hospital, that stuff kind of flooded back tonight into my mind. I remember sitting in that hospital. And I wouldn't let her watch me cry. But as I'd pray, oh, I'd weep and cry. And just beg God to help. Didn't know what she could believe or what not to believe. And the whole time that I'd sit over there weep and cry, God would be trying to tell my heart, "I got it okay, it's okay. Oh, it's okay. It'll be all right."
And then more bad news would come. And it'd scare us to death. The Bible said that we may boldly say that the Lord is my helper. And I'll not fear. Oh, but fear. That thing's hard to beat sometimes. And I don't know your need tonight, your heart tonight. Oh, but I want you to know God will never leave you nor forsake you. He loves you so much, He bought and paid for you. He's not going to lose you and He's not going to leave you. Some of y'all, while He plays, or just come up here and gather up around this altar tonight. And I'll just thank God for what He's done for you, what He's seen you through. Some of you may have needs tonight. So I don't know what we're going to do here, preacher, but boy, I'm awful worried. Oh, He's watching it. He sees it. You may not think He sees it, but He sees it tonight. If you're not saved, you don't have that promise tonight. If you need to come and pray, I want you to come. Would you move tonight?